greetings and salutations, everyone. Once again, this is AC2GS, Weimar Technical Net. The Weimar Technical Net has been going strong for over 43 years. Every Sunday night at ACF, we sit in front of our radios and talk to each other and try to inform each other, learn from each other, entertain each other. And once again, I thank you all for showing up this Sunday night at ACM, and we try and do it all over again. Now let me drop for a second, and I will give you the usual link. Okay, if you want to reach me via email, that would be either for mailbag questions, so the questions usually asked during the TechNet, but in some cases you can't get to the repeater. So you can email me the question, we can discuss it, you can listen to it on the internet stream or on an archive file later on in the week. Or if you have a topic that you'd like to discuss, sometimes technical subjects end up in the news, and if you have expertise in the field and like to share it, we appreciate that. Or if you have a technical puzzle to share with us, we're always looking for technical puzzles. Or if you want me to tap Paul on the shoulder and ask him to take a look at a space or ask a related story and comment, or you can email him directly at spacenetreport@gmail.com. My email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. I have a link page of all kinds of interesting things that I picked up in the last week, and hopefully we'll discuss one or two of them tonight. It's available 24/7. You just type into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com, and it'll take you there. We have a chat room available. If you are interested, sometimes it's loud, noisy, and active, and sometimes it's very, very, very quiet. So you get there by typing in chat.ac2gs.com. Let me drop for a second. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, we have an audio stream of the technical net. I keep it live the rest of the week. So if you want to hear what's going on in the plenum's repeater, or you want to simply listen to the live feed for the technical net, just type into your browser, technet.ac2gs.com, and it'll bring you to the audio stream. I always like to remind people that MikeKC2NJI has a great archive site called amateurradio.tv. He has archives of this technical net going as far back as September 2006. You'll avail yourself of the wisdom of a lot of amateurs who either moved away from the area or from silent seas, unfortunately. The wisdom is not lost. It is recorded for posterity, and it will take a good week to listen to voices from the past. Let me drop for a second, and I'll come back and tell you what's planned for tonight. Okay, we will be asking for questions of a technical nature. My hope is that amateur radio questions are asked first, but as we all know, if you have any other science or technology-based questions, we're always open to discuss them as soon as we can. Maybe an answer, maybe we can give you a reference, or maybe someone listening could give us more information. So, with that in mind, that should take us hopefully about 10:15. 10:15, full WS2S will bring us the SpaceNet report. That will take us to about 11 p.m. I will return tie a little bow tie on everything and wish you well for the future week. As another reminder, the religious holidays are coming up, so I will not be available for the next Sunday. But you are free to do as you would with the repeater. If you want to run your own TechNet or something similar, that's fine by me. So let me drop for a second, and then I just want to bring up a few little short subjects before we get to the questions. Okay, the link site to today is, I think, might be interesting to people. We've done this story before. Generative artificial intelligence software that's capable of generating images. Fails miserably at drawing antennas. I've tried it before with the older versions of the generative artificial intelligence graphics programs, and they don't look anything like they're supposed to. Recently, Adobe released Firefly, which is their artificial intelligence image creation software. So I thought I'd take that for a ride. And I answered the same exact question I asked the others. I typed in to image a 20-meter, three-element Yagi amateur radio antenna, and I put up the images. They decidedly don't look anything like a Yagi, or even that much of an antenna. It sort of looks like a bunch of radar arrays in parallel, in series. It looks very, very strange. So, again, if you have nothing better to do later tonight, type into your browser, roy.atqts.com, and take a look at these monstrosities that Firefly from Adobe thinks is a three-element Yagi. We drop for a sec. Another thing on the link page that you might be interested in reading at a later time is an article about how ChatGPT, and we talked a great deal about ChatGPT in the past, has noted a decline in usership. The amount of hours that are being spent by the general public asking the ChatGPT program questions and trying to figure out if it's lifelike or not has gone down over time. So, like old things, we tire of old stuff and always look for new stuff. So who knows what the next great artificial intelligence software will bring us. So it's available again on my link page. Let me drop for a second, and I'll be right back. Okay, and now for any questions or comments tonight, please try to make them amateur radio related, at least at the very beginning. As time goes on, I'm more than happy to accept any kind of science or technology questions or comments. So with that in mind, if anyone is interested, please hit that push to talk, give me your first name and your call sign.
KT2R1. And to XGN after, it's not ham radio related, but it's not long.
KT2EHD, Jim.
Okay, I got David, I got Wesley, I got Jim. There was another person who kind of doubled with people.
KT2DAW, Curtis, reporting.
Okay, very good, Curtis. Thank you for supporting. Anyone else want to put their name down for any questions or topics or discussions? What have you?
WB2JKG.
JKG, can you give me your prefix, please, and your first name?
WA2 Juliet Kilo Golf. And I'm Marco.
So, okay, Marco recognized as well. Let's start at the very top. David, KG2R1, what's your question or your comment for tonight, David?
Good evening, Roy. Good evening, everyone. I had this thought, and maybe it relates to what I want to discuss, the idea of being creative in a technical field. How to be creative in a technical field. So my question is, I have an auto tuner from LDG, and it works on all bands. My antenna can operate on 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, and 10. But this tuner, for some reason, it won't tune on 10. How do I know? I have another tuner that can tune on 10. Go figure. What are your thoughts about that? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the simplest answer is perhaps it is broken. Another answer is perhaps the impedance that your 10-meter antenna provides it is outside the scope of its ability to transform its impedance. I've told the story before, but I might as well tell the story again. I had a problem with a 10-meter, it was a fan dipole. For the frequency that I was using, the poor antenna tuner simply would not tune that frequency until I took a 3-foot jumper and I extended the transmission line. When you have a perfect 50 ohm impedance at the antenna site, the length of the transmission line has no effect. But if you have a mismatch, the mismatch rotates its impedance along the length of the transmission line. And so a extra 3 feet of transmission line, LMR 400 in my case, was enough to rotate the impedance into the range that my antenna tuner was capable of dealing with and transforming it to 50 ohms. So as I said before, it could be broken, or it could simply be outside of the scope for your particular mismatch. You might want to consider trying the addition of a jumper cable, or if you have jumper cables already in line, you might want to cut one of them out and see if that changes the ability to tune to 10 meters.
A QSL, Roy. Yeah, I tried that. I tried all those things. Didn't make a difference. The LDG tuner, maximum SWR 10 to 1. So it'll tune on 40, 20, 17, 15, and 12, but it won't tune on 10. And I have another tuner, ATU-100. It's one of these inexpensive tuners you buy on Amazon.com. And it tunes on 10. It tunes on 10 with a very minimal SWR. I don't get it.
Again, assuming that it's just broken, different antenna tuners are built differently. Different antenna tuners use different types of networks. My Palstar, uses what's called a T network. Most auto tuners use an L network. It requires less components, a little bit less expensive to build. They have different ranges. Unfortunately, although you can read in the literature that such and such an antenna tuner will tune 10 to 1 and below, that's not really an accurate assessment. The most accurate way of indicating the impedance range for a given antenna tuner is to produce Smith charts of the areas within the Smith chart that the antenna tuner can translate and transform into 50 ohms, and those that it can't. No one provides that, and probably not a lot of hams are trained to read Smith charts very well, so that's probably part of it. So the 10 to 1 approximation is a very common one, but it's not an accurate one. There are certain types of less than 10 to 1 impedance mismatches that when you take into account the vector aspect of them, your particular antenna tuner is simply incapable of translating it and transforming it. So even though they're all kind of say that they're 10 to 1, not all antenna tuners are created equal. Some have wider ranges than others, and you can't really indicate it by the ads because they give you those 10 to 1 numbers, which are practically meaningless.
Yeah, but the inexpensive antenna tuner is rated for 3 to 1. 3 to 1, and it can tune on 10 meters really easy. So I don't really know what's going on. I called LDG, and I had a chat with the tech there. He said there might be a problem with the component for 10 meters, and I should send it in. But then, you know, the cost of it and the cost of shipping and insurance, you know, it probably pays just to save my shekels and get a new one. Thank you very much, Roy.
Well, you're certainly welcome, David. Yeah, that's your option. You know, sometimes people feel better about buying a shiny new one. And like I said, one of the things that could be wrong is, you know, one of the relays, one of the components that's very, very important for 10-meter transform impedances is faulty and needs to be replaced. You know, in the good old days when we had guys hanging out here that take those things apart and put them back together in their sleep, that would be an option. Nowadays, guys who can repair stuff are few and far between. You have to send it back to the manufacturers, unfortunately.
QSL, Dr. Roy. But, you know, this tuner I've had since 2016, and the problem was always the same, you know. Always had a problem with 10 meters. You know, the inexpensive tuner, 3 to 1 rating, the maximum SWR, it works on 40, works on 20, works on 15, works on 10. But on 17 and 12, it doesn't match at all. It needs to have a more of a range to tune those frequencies, since the antenna isn't quite resonant on those bands. Go ahead.
Have you ever considered trying to put something like a 4-to-1 Balun in line with it and see if that helps?
I don't know, maybe. But I will tell you that I have two radios here, one with one tuner, the other with the other tuner. So I get the range. You know, I get 10, 12, 15, 17, 20, and 40. And I can go somehow a little bit in between. And for now, I think that's okay. Then eventually I'd like to get a new LDG tuner, because I like that tuner very much, and also replace this inexpensive one, because I can see the workmanship isn't so good on it. You know, so I have to be very careful how I handle it. And I have to run it at like 50 or 60 watts, no more, because the components are weak. And I've been reading about it, that this particular tuner, you know, it doesn't have such a good way of handling the full power. So like for 10 meters, you know, I'll be running maybe 50 watts. Should be enough.
Well, it all depends. I mean, when I'm doing my 10-meter test, I've operated with about 500 watts. When things are opened up, they hear me really nicely all over the country. Has been the case in a couple of months, unfortunately, due to solar flares, I guess. But, manufacturers are caught by having components that are rated for lower power, which is fine if you're going to keep using lower power, but if you want something more sturdy with a higher power, you're going to end up having to pay for the components. You know, there are guys out there who have probably manual tuning valves. They come auto tuners and are capable of tuning up to an output of 5 kilowatts, which isn't exactly legal, but they have manufactured antenna tuners that are capable of that much output. Those are big and sturdy and expensive. So, you know, if you only have something that will work for 30 watts, it'll be lighter and less expensive. So certainly if you're planning to kind of up your output power, you're not happy with your old antenna tuner, then a new one from a fine company, LDG is a well-known company. I have one for my ICOM 7100. They're fine, so I wish you well.
Thank you, Roy. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I want to get another LDG tuner, I think. Maybe I'll get two, one for each radio. You know, I'm able to get the range of bands from 12 to 40 on one radio and then 10 meters on the other radio. I think I could turn the power up to about 60, 65 watts. And the manufacturer of this inexpensive set that you start with low power and you gradually increase until you reach a full power. I don't know if this device can handle the full power. Go ahead.
AC2GS. Well, that's always good practice as far as antenna tuners. You don't want to tune up from a mysterious setting using full power, because the degree of the SWR initial mismatch is going to multiply the voltage potential on the contacts in the components and increase the risk of arcing and damaging your antenna tuner. So the idea is you start with about 5-10 watts of driver power. That's enough to get very, very close to a fine 50 ohm impedance transformation, and then you can boost it up to full power and tweak it as necessary. But at that point, you're so close that you don't have to worry too much about the voltage multiplier of a terribly mismatched antenna tuner. So that's always a good idea to get into the habit of. Never tune up your antenna tuner using your transmitter's full power. Start with low power and work your way up.
What about if you're doing auto-tune? Auto-tune, you're on one band of frequency within maybe 50 kilohertz up and 50 kilohertz down. You know, so the memory of the tuning is in the tuner. Yeah, so you just turn it on and you start to talk into it. And the tuner automatically tunes. You know, it takes a couple of split seconds to tune. Would that be considered okay? And then about 50 or 60 watts.
Well, it depends upon the auto tuner. You know, I mean, 50 watts isn't terrible. There are guys out there, I'm sure, who unfortunately do that with their linears on and think nothing of just, you know, having their auto tuner correctly retune their antenna by pushing something close to 500 watts into it. So that's where you get the real messy problems. It depends on how much belt and suspenders you want to be. Depending upon the algorithm and the technology, there are relay-based auto tuners. There are servo-based auto tuners that change the settings a little slower than the switches do. and the algorithm depends upon how fast the processor in the board is. So, you know, if you're only going to put out about 30 watts, I guess it's not a calamity. If you were going to put up something like 100 or 200 or 300 or 400, certainly I would go back to a lower level of output and let the auto tuner do its thing for that minute, second. Usually it's not a second. I've never really seen mine ever correct for in a second. Usually on a bad day it can take half a minute. So, you know, belt suspenders or just a belt.
Well, you know, this tuner, the one I got on Amazon, it has a 0.96 inch OLED screen, which displays, turn it on, ATU100 power, SWR capacitance, and inductance. It was not so much money. I guess they were trying to make it somehow work so it is useful and it doesn't fall apart. There was something else I wanted to say, but I forgot.
Okay, I mean, it's always good for manufacturers to build equipment that's sturdy, cost effective. I seldom buy any of my parts by Amazon. Amazon tends to be kind of heavy into Chinese supplies, they're dirt cheap, but the quality assurance is very dubious. Some things are great, some things are awful. You know, it's sort of like MSJ on steroids, unfortunately. So I tend to buy my equipment through places like HRO, DS Engineering, or Gigapart, simply because, you know, there are hams that are there, and they sort of shield buyers from poor decisions, whereas Amazon, if anyone wants to sell a product, I think Amazon will go along with them. You know, unless, God forbid, it kills someone, then they'll pull it out. Or they sue them like they did with the recent Flipper Zero that's capable of cloning all kinds of important things like car fobs and stuff. But, you know, Amazon's nice for price, but amateur radio equipment, I try to stay away from Chinese stuff unless I'm feeling lucky.
QSL. Well, you know, this particular item, it has a built-in battery you can charge through USB. It's not built really well, and the price was very reasonable, so I think I'll use it until it falls apart. And I looked at Gigapart's price for the LDG tuner that I have, which is the AT-100 Pro 2 auto tuner. It's the one with the SWR reading and the power reading.
Yes, I've seen that model. I like I said, I had the ICOM specific version, but I've heard of that one.
Yeah, Gigapart has the best price for that item. I'm trying to see if I can get it for less, and worst that'll happen is I save my money, and you know, that's when I can buy a new auto tuner, the one that I want, and not to compromise and get one that only has some of the features that I want.
Okay, I hope you get what you want. As far as antenna tuning features, it's not like cars where every year is sort of a new model, and or like cell phones where they're you know, they kind of... But Days, I think, is the next Apple announcement for their iPhone 15. You know, antenna tuners are kind of, you know, a very basic design. An array of capacitors and inductors and either servos or relays switching them in and out, and an SWR bridge and power meter, you know, nothing particularly special, but, you know, you rely on companies that have a good name and a good reputation. You can't go wrong.
What do you know about the MAT tuner?
Can you give me a little bit more information? What do you mean by MAT tuner?
It's Mexico Alpha Tango. They make different models for different radios, and made in China, a little bit less expensive than LDG. This are like many Chinese items you can buy from vendors in the United States.
Yeah, well, again, it sort of depends. It's not generally a big name, so there's no real reputation that I can think of. It's probably one of the most important is what kind of warranty and backup do they have. Do the distributors fix it under warranty, or do they tell you that you have to ship it back to China, which isn't worth anything because although shipping things from China is almost free to the Chinese companies, to ship something back for repair costs more than usually the unit is worth. So, again, if you're really feeling lucky and you need the extra change, maybe I wouldn't. Unless, you know, things got really, you know, the name became really impressive. You know, I mean, it depends. You know, a valve bung, when I buy a valve bung, when any of us buys a valve bung, it's kind of a disposable radio. And as long as you understand that it is a disposable radio and it weighs less than, you know, pack of cigarettes, you know, it's okay. But you know, if you expect it to be the same as, say, a Yaesu handy talkie or an ICOM handy talkie, in the end, you're not going to be happy with the product. So, again, my suggestion is stay with LDG. It's a very well-known, respected company. As far as I'm aware, they stand behind their products. And you're not going to end up getting some Chinglish email letter from Shenzhen, China, regarding why your unit isn't working the way it's supposed to.
KG2RY. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. This tuner that I bought on Amazon, if I get a year out of it, I'll be happy.
Okay, as long as you're aware of that, then that's fine. You know, I mean, unfortunately, some people aren't quite sure where these things come from. They just see the low price, and they make the incorrect assumption that it's a bargain. You know, it's in some ways a bargain, but in other ways it's not quite a bargain. So yeah, as long as you kind of understand that you're buying a Chinese product that they've cut all the corners they can cut, and it might not last as long as something built in America or Japan, that's fine. And the old saying goes, fire for wind.
Well, you know, along the coast of China, there were many factories that have been abandoned because all the manufacturing is happening in states now, especially computer chips for devices, for appliances, for cars, and they're all being made in the United States.
Well, not exactly. There's a lot of empty office and manufacturing in China. There's also a lot of flooding going on. recently. A lot of the major cities have gone underwater, unfortunately for them. But because of COVID, because of the lockdown, a lot of manufacturing, and because of relations with China, a lot of outside manufacturers and manufactured stuff in China have moved it to India and Vietnam and Thailand and Malaysia and all kinds of places in favor of those places instead of China. China, unfortunately, has never had the technology, the state-of-the-art semiconductors. The manufacturers who had things assembled in China would bring their own chips, and unfortunately China has been blocked. It can't import any of the latest and greatest chipsets. Just 100 miles off the coast is Taiwan. TSMC is a major manufacturer of state-of-the-art semiconductor chips, and China has not been lucky with developing their own ones. So they have problems. So they have real estate problems. They have investment problems. They have their labor group is kind of scribbling and shrinking. And the other countries that used to get stuff done there are finding other venues. So they're going to be in for some economic problems in the next few years.
Well, you know, Roy, from what I'm reading, China already has economic problems. This is the thing, you know. I don't know if this is any reason for aggressive behavior, but, you know, they are having economic problems. And what to say, my computer was made in Malaysia.
Malaysia is a perfectly fine place. Some of the best equipment, Japanese companies have their equipment assembled in Malaysia. So I have no real problem with Malaysian imports. China has had numerous problems. They have a massive real estate bubble. They build a lot of empty, poorly made buildings as a means to invest, not live in. And they're crumbling, and the banking system that's running it is collapsing. So they're having bank failures, they're having real estate company failures. And that's in addition to the labor shortages and now the flooding. So they're having a mess of a time.
USA, yeah, that's what I've been reading, and hopefully it'll turn out for the best on all sides. We can all somehow coexist and have a manufacturing and have all of that, you know, and people can get more of what they want to be happy. That would be a great thing.
I think that the trick that everyone has learned from COVID is not to put all your eggs in one basket. Have multiple supply chains. They're not as efficient as one single one that you have no control over, but no one has really control over any of them. So I think that this is a better way of dealing with it. The Chinese, I'm sure, don't. I think one of the major problems with the change in politics in China, Xi Jinping kind of takes way too many pages out of Mao Zedong's book, and he seems to be trying to turn China into a more isolationist, angry, warrior country, and that isn't how they made their billions and billions of dollars. They made them by trade relationships with first world countries. So I don't see it changing much until Xi Jinping goes the way of Mao and all the others. But I'll keep my eye on the newspapers and see what happens there. Shame on the actual individual Chinese people. It's a dictatorship. It's an awful place to kind of have to live. It's very difficult to make a living. It's not really a socialized country. You know, you don't get free medicine. You don't get free anything. So it's a tough life there. I feel bad for them all.
QSL. We're talking about politics, you know. I think this idea of making things in America is a very good idea. The other thing I was kind of concerned about, you know, and conflict with Ukraine, and how to say, you know, people are talking about this like, you know, the idea Russia wants to extend it into the West and all of that. I hope that that doesn't happen.
Well, I don't know. I think Russia is a bit of a paper tiger, personally. But we're always going to have some degree of manufacturing in the United States, but small things usually our labor force can't live on the hourly wages that countries pay in Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam and such. So for, you know, putting together little bits of things that don't require ultra-high accuracy, I think it needs to be manufactured outside the United States. We're very good at precision and high-tech products. The government has invested millions of dollars in building semiconductor foundries in the United States. Hopefully, they will get up to the technology of TSMC in Taiwan. Those are the leading-edge wafers that are being made. I don't know exactly how sophisticated our foundries are going to be. $20 million foundries and a lot of very, very high tech. I hope at the very least, when all this is over, the price of RAM is going to probably hit the floor, because there'll be boundaries in the United States, there'll be boundaries in Europe, boundaries in the third world, and the easiest thing for them to pump out is memory chips. So we're going to be able to pick them up for a minute.
KG2RY. QSL. Yeah, I think that Made in America is really good idea, and I think that being able to somehow make a difference between one side and the other side, so that conflicts can be avoided and people can get more of what they want. If this is possible, you know, and how to say, I think that the policy is good, and somehow we are achieving that.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, part of the theory of interrelationships and global trading is sort of to make the case that if you screw your enemy, in the end, you screw yourself. You know, that's kind of self-evident in China. If China really does anything significantly against the first world of America and the European Union, those are their customers. You know, they're not going to have any money to pay to feed their citizens. But unfortunately, it seems to break down in the details. To maintain the peace, it's not completely nature. They get irrational sometimes irrational. So I agree with you. I hope that happens. I don't know. I've read too much of history to assume that people all of a sudden thought that would be rational these things.
Well, you know, some people say we're all very primitive, and from the beginning of time, man hasn't changed at all with their interests and their actions and, you know. And I think that maybe we've learned something, you know, modern day. So many books have been written. We have the internet now. You can find out about just about anything. You know, radio, telecommunications, cell phones, you know. Hopefully from all of that, we'll learn something about, you know, how to coexist and have a good life and be happy. Right here and now, if this is possible.
Now, I certainly hope so. Unfortunately, technology gives you one hand and takes with the other. Facebook has been accused of fomenting genocide in some Southeast Asian countries. All you have to do is get on the internet and make up stories that your enemy is killing little children, and all of a sudden you have a large group of people killing them back. So I wish it was true that just more information would make us a little more rational and more peaceful, but it can work either way, of course.
Yourself. Each person can start with themselves and say, this is what I want to do.
Now, we will see what the future holds. The internet, unfortunately, exposes the underbelly of humanity. It's never kind of read through random Twitters and other such things. There are some terrible people out there who unfortunately learn how to type.
QSL. When you look at it, you know, you wonder about it, and you think, wow, people do have a capability, you know, there is a possibility that they could learn something, you know, about coexisting and getting what they want and being happy. And how to say it, you know, people that reach here and there, they reach up and down, they reach everywhere. And then they try to accumulate lots of money, you know, a lot of things. And then they realize that they're frustrated and they're unfulfilled because none of it is what they want.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are a lot of disappointed, upset people. Either they spend their lives trying to collect something and then having a negative came to the realization that that's not really what they truly wanted. And, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to be disappointed in life. So I'm sorry for those people. I don't know the simple solution. It kind of comes from within. It goes back to the educational system. I wish there was much more critical thinking taught, analytical thinking, rational thinking, and staying away from too many I feel this, I feel that, I feel the other thing. Because emotions tend to obscure and lead to irrational decisions, at least as I am aware.
QSL. Well, you know, I've said this before on the TechNet. Person has to know what he or she wants in order to get what he or she wants. If they don't know what they want, they'll never get what they want. Be frustrated and angry. And if they know what they don't want, they're much closer to getting what they want because it gives them more of an idea of what they really want. And then the other thing I think plays a big part in the dismay of our human relations is obsession, addiction, you know, where people just, they're not themselves.
Addiction is a completely different subject. Usually people who have addiction problems have multiple addiction problems. And, you know, sometimes inane things that a lot of us don't think of as addiction. You know, there are people who are addicted to video games. We tend to be concerned about drug addictions, alcohol addictions, gambling addictions, sex addictions. There's all kinds of different things that, and part of the whole premise of an addiction is that it's ruining your life. It no longer becomes a useful distraction of getting through the day, week, month, year, and becomes a thing all in itself that people are willing to just kind of burn up their entire lives by chasing over. So, addiction is a very complicated, difficult subject that affects many, many, many people.
Well, I learned that, speaking for myself, I'm much happier without any addiction. I don't go there, you know. If some person wants to walk with me to the bar, I'll tell them, no, we can go somewhere else. You know, let's say obsession and addiction. You know, people can be addicted to television. They can sit in front of the TV all day long with a glass of alcohol in their hand. And how does that affect the way they interact with other people, especially people who are not addicted?
Well, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. It's probably more a case of a guy who's addicted to alcohol than television, because, I think it would be different if the guy was drinking ginger ale and watching a lot of TV. Although, again, addictions unfortunately don't start from zero in most cases. You don't pick up a can of beer and become an alcoholic that day. It's a usually more subtle spiral down the rabbit hole. It's kind of episodes of a little bit less and then a lot more. And, especially in dramatics, you can probably count dozens and dozens of famous actors and actresses that were completely boozed up on the set most of the time. You know, so there's this weird kind of belief that actors or artists struggle, that life itself is a struggle, and they kind of self-medicate. I'm not quite sure if that's what's going on or something else is going on, but it's a terrible thing, and almost everyone doesn't choose to become an addict. It just unfortunately happens to them. It's sometimes it's behavioral. A lot of times it's genetic. People with addiction problems usually come from parents who've had addiction problems. So it's unfortunate.
KG2RY. Roy, what if you are surrounded by people who are addicts and the dynamic isn't so great?
KC2GS, well, yeah, as you said, that's a very kind of stressful, problematic environment. If you're surrounded by people like that, the behavior is much easier to develop in yourself. Your senses of standards and responsibility get skewed. So it's never a great idea to be close to a lot of people with a lot of serious emotional problems, because they can and do tend to rub off on people. So, you know, it's what parents know instinctually. Their children, they want their children to have friends who are healthy, psychologically healthy, not future drug addicts and alcoholics and such. Those bad things tend to lead people astray. So it's a big problem. I mean, I don't think that they should be isolated, but befriending a large group of deeply addicted people can be very problematic.
QSL. But you know, you want to be an influence, you know. Even though you can't stand hanging out with them at all, you want to influence them in a positive way. Somehow they can, make some realization about it. But I realize that it is impossible. You know, they drink every day, and they drink more than one drink every day. You know, there's no way to reason with them anyway.
You know, it could be a bit of a tug of war. You know, you're trying to tug them one way, and inevitably they'll try and tug you back. Usually, as far as addiction goes, I have seen people benefit more from addicted people who have quit their addiction. They seem to supply the right level of support many times. 12-step programs use ex-addicts, although they always consider themselves addicted or addicts. And that's a little bit, I think that's more effective than people who've never gone through the addiction process. And so it's sort of an intellectual, philosophical quandary rather than a life that got very close to being totally destroyed. So, again, I think it works better if you have help from previous addicted people rather than people who have a philosophical thing about addiction. Gosh, someone is throwing a blank carrier out there. Of course, it doesn't affect me, ha ha ha. But I'm sorry, David. Someone's just throwing a blank carrier over you.
Can you hear?
I heard you then.
Shut up. I'm very close to, and
yeah, David, unfortunately, someone just keeps on dropping a carrier on you, so. You know, we may, you know, maybe later on tonight when he's finishing a couple of shots of scotch or whatever, doing something completely different, we can go further in this.
Sure.
Okay, so let's move on to our next person for tonight, and please, the gentleman just throwing the carrier, you know, pick up a newspaper, do some crosswords, you know, keep yourself busy with something else. Next on my list tonight is Jim, KD2VHD. What's your question or your comment for tonight, Jim?
Hello, Roy, Internet. Jim, KD2VHD. I've jumped around to a couple things real quick. Just an interesting comment. Not to negate anything that you guys were speaking about. Nothing you said was untrue. But other things are also true. The fine lads who stumbled out of the Buckman Tavern on April 19, 1775 in Lexington weren't drinking tea all night. So there are other things that happen with certain elixirs that don't always turn out bad. Something to consider. I'm going to jump over to AI for a second, if that's okay.
Sure, no problem. By the way, the British had the same questionable attitude about coffee houses. Coffee houses, they came to the conclusion that too much caffeine led people to share their unhappiness with governments and such.
Indeed, when people gather closer than 6 feet apart, they do tend to at least identify problems and at least admire them. Often not solve them, but at least point them out. It does make for interesting conversation in both cases.
Yep, so what did you want to talk about artificial intelligence?
So when you mentioned at the beginning of the net, a thought came to mind. There was a phrase that I suppose was never intended to be 100% truthful, but it's a thought paradigm, I guess. The thought that if you put 10 monkeys in a room with a typewriter for millennia, eventually they would write War and Peace. I think it's the study of randomness or something. And the AI that I'm hearing about today seems just